I'm actually going to preach from here today, not because of any weighty message, but I'm going to preach from here today because this past week I've lost my voice, and I've spent all week with laryngitis, so it's been kind of quiet, so I'm going to use the mic. Got it? I'm going to use the mic. I'm going to not preach long to try to save this voice. Jack's been glad that it's been quiet around the house. I did go to the doctor's on Wednesday, and she told me it was laryngitis and nothing else, but she also told me not to speak until Sunday morning. Fat chance. So that didn't happen. So I do want to speak from you today. I'm trying to use as much amplification to keep my voice. You heard the reading from Colossians this morning. You know, I've asked you to wear these crazy hats today. And from sitting from this example, watching everybody's hats, it kind of looks like a little bit like a Dr. Seuss convention. I mean, I see Christmas trees, and I see flowers, and I see boas, and I see hats with, I'm surprising, no hats with beer cans. I was looking for one that had the double beer can thing, and construction workers, and musical notes, and I saw some other, a Pharaoh's hat over there. All of us, and when we wear these hats, it all makes us look a little odd. A little odd, like I told the kids. Because we all are different, and sometimes our hats reflect who we are. Maybe you remember a time in the past where women all wore hats to church. And oftentimes, if they wore a big hat, you couldn't see over their hat to see what was going on. That kind of tradition's kind of faded by the side, as I'm sad to say some other traditions have gone by the side. You know, the other day I was at the senior center, and I was there for a meeting, and when I came out, there were a couple people sitting there at the senior center watching the news. And they happened to be watching Fox News. It doesn't make any difference whether they're watching Fox News or whether they're watching CNN or whatever. But I stood there for a couple minutes, and I thought to myself, my God, isn't there anything decent to talk about? Everything on the news that I heard was complaining about this or complaining about that or criticizing this or criticizing that. And if you go to one station, they criticize the president. If you go to the other station, they criticize the Speaker of the House. And if you go to this one and go to that one and go to this one and that one, you hear all these criticisms. And I turned to the gentleman who was sitting there and I said, why are you sitting here watching this? This is so depressing. And he just stood there with this empty look in his eyes. I don't know if it was because he was at the senior center and he was older or whether. Wait a minute. Jack goes to the senior center. What can I say? What can I say? Anyway, started me thinking. I had a couple in my congregation many, many, many years ago. And it was a gentleman and his wife, and they were in their 80s, I think, at the time, Bill and Sally. And they had been married 60 years. And when they walked into the church, they were one of these kind of couples that you would look at and go, oh, I want to be like that when I get that many years. They're the kind that walk down the middle of the mall holding hands at 80 years old. And when I spoke to Sally, Sally never had a negative word to say about anybody. Not her husband, not anybody. If she said something, it was uplifting, or she didn't say anything at all. And I asked her about that. I said, Sally, you've been married all these years, You're obviously in love with your husband. What's going on? She says, I don't sweat the small stuff. I take everything a day as it goes. There are a few things in life that are worth getting all upset about. And I said, I know you don't criticize anybody. She says, that's for sure. If I have something to say that it's a criticism, you don't have to say it in a harsh way. You can say it in a nice way. You know what? That's my mini pearl thing, isn't it? You turned it off. He's got too much power in the back. He can turn me on and turn me off. Yeah. Now I lost track of where I was going with that. Gee. I know what I wanted to say. You know, people in different places have different ways of saying things. In the South, how many of you have been down to the South and you heard the way that the women down there make criticisms? They can say anything nicely. You know? Secondly, oh, Jack, you are such a... I find your hat so obnoxious, bless his soul. Honey, you are such a slut. God bless her heart. They put that little catchphrase on the end of everything sometimes when they say it. It's a way of softening things. Sometimes I come and I see people who don't soften anything. They take pride in saying what's on their mind, whether it hurts anybody or not. We talk about kids being so hurtful and the things that they say to other kids. You're fat. You're ugly. It's hurtful. Where'd you get that dress? Did you get it secondhand someplace? It's hurtful. And it's uncalled for. It is not what we're supposed to be doing. And people will often use those negative things to bully others. Push them around. Make them feel smaller and somehow thinking they're going to be better. And what I fear is that some of this is learned behavior. We learn it in places like churches, where we belittle others because they're different from us. I fear that we learn it in our homes. When one spouse says something bad about the other spouse, sometimes I do that myself, even if I say it in jest. It really shouldn't be done. We are to be in loving relationship. Spouses are not to be abusive verbally to other spouses. Say things in an upright way. Say it in a way that brings glory to God. The scripture says today, if when you become a Christian, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to give up the things that are not of God. It says things of this world, fornication and adultery and greed and all these other things. They're not of what we're supposed to be about as Christians. We're not supposed to be about doing things the way the world does them, but we're called to set a higher standard. You're called to be an example to the world. Not to be in the gutter with the rest of the world. And when you lower yourself to criticizing, to name-calling, to belittling others, you're at the bottom of the wrong at the bottom. There is no glory or grace in belittling somebody else. None. And it is not of God. It says get rid of things in our life like anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive language. Don't do those things. It says that as God's chosen one, as God's chosen ones, clothe yourselves with these things. Compassion. What's compassion? What's compassion?
Sympathy.
Love. Caring for others. Looking to the needs of others, beyond yourself, having compassion. Sometimes you might not be able to do anything, but show your concern. Have compassion. Be kind. Be kind. Be humble. You know, part of the things that when we put each other down or we belittle each other is a way we think of building ourselves. But you know, I think the people that are really the most raised above are those who humble themselves. When you do something and you don't blast it out, when you are humble about the things that you have, you were raised up in the sight of God. And when you proclaim from the mountaintop, look at me, God says, you have gotten all you're going to get. Don't expect any rewards in the kingdom, because you already got them. But humble yourself. Meekness and patience. Boy, that's when I have a tough time with patience, because I want everything done today. You all are a prime example of that for me. As a new pastor, I come in with a concept of what I want to do, and I want it done. And I want it done yesterday. I got to remember, you all are not moving in the same direction. You're moving in the same direction, but not at the same speed. So I have to be a little patient, you know? I've heard that told to me many times. Be patient with us, Pastor. Mm-hmm. It says, bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, what are you supposed to do? Forgive it. Forgive it. And if you have a criticism for another, do this. First thing is, don't jump the gun. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. You messed up. You burnt all the corn for the dinner. Not that I'm saying anything here. But is it really worth it? Sit down and think about it. And if it really is worth having a discussion about it, quietly have a discussion. And if it's not, let it go. It is not worth it. It is not worth it. If you need to have a discussion about it, count your discussion in grace. Count your discussion in grace. You know, Jack, I need to talk to you. You know, yesterday, the other day when we had the party, you were really busy, and I know you were showing people around the house and all that kind of stuff, but you didn't quite keep track of the corn on the grill.
Yes, and I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. Next time, if you need some help, just let me know and I'll help you. Or I'll get somebody else to help you and we'll save the corn so we don't, you know. Yes, we had well-roasted corn. But it's okay. We'll do better next time, okay?
Absolutely, yes.
All right.
Thank you.
And I love you. Not Jack. You burnt the corn. You weren't paying attention. You were out running around. Why weren't you doing what I told you and took? I hope to stay married to the man for a number of years. And I won't be able to do it if I do that kind of stuff. Right? Couch it in God's grace. Couch it in God's love. Some way in the way that Jesus may have spoken to others about things. Jesus didn't come out and say, all those who do so-and-so are going to get punished. Jesus did not do hellfire and brimstone sermons. Right? Maybe once or twice he flicked it a little bit. But he always took the things that were difficult to say and he couched it in a different way. He said, blessed are you. Blessed are you when people get upset at you because you know me. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. He didn't say all those who are judgmental are going straight down the tubes. He said, blessed are you for doing the right thing. Blessed are you for doing things in God's grace with love. And the scripture says, above all things, do it with love. Do it with love. Couch everything you do with love. If you do it, are you going to get stepped on occasionally? Oh, yeah. Are people going to think you're a little weird? Look at the hat you have on. Look at the hat I have on. But I'd rather be different. I'd rather be a little weird. I'd rather have them call me strange. But say, you know what? She is a nice woman. I really would love to have it said to me one day that she never had a bad thing to say about anybody. Then have all the riches and the accolades from everyone else. Those are the important things. Because when we do those, we walk in the footsteps of Christ. Well, I got to stop talking now because my voice is about to go. But I pray that you will, in your homes, in your life, take the negative and turn it to a positive. In your places of employment, if you got somebody that's bugging you, do something nice for them. If you get in a situation with your spouse, talk it out. Do it gently. Don't be critical or harsh. It hurts the other person. And sometimes those wounds, especially from people we love, go extremely deep. Don't do it. Do it with love. And above all, give glory to God for all that you do and all that you say. And if you remember it, his words coming from you, then you can't do anything but give it in love. Amen. I'd like to ask those who are participating in the communion service to come forward today, and also our three new members. Come on up here. Come on up around me. You can fill in. Maybe I'll take mine off too. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the blessedness that you gave us. You took a most negative thing, a walk to the cross, and turned it into the most positive thing, a sign of your ultimate love. On the night before you went to the cross, you gave us this holy sacrament to remember you by. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love and grace and your witness in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. As Jesus gathered with his disciples and in the upper room, there on the table, he took the loaf of bread and he gave thanks. Thank you, O Lord, for the grain. And he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. When the supper was ended, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, thank you, O Lord, for the fruit of the vine, he gave it to them and said, take and drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink it, remember me. In so doing, look what he did. He took this thing, this terrible, terrible thing, and with grace gave it to us so that we may know the truth of life. That's the mysteries. Christ has died. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pray with me. Lord, we're not worthy to gather up the crumbs that fall from your table, but Lord, we ask your blessings on us. Help us, Lord. Help us to share your love. Help us to be merciful and kind and compassionate and humble and loving. Be with us and in us, Lord. In Christ's holy name, amen.